B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show.
Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like the sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly where Haiti's the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock ya.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Missinelli Show on a General Knowledge Wednesday. Now, that's key because we have to talk about the Phillies again today. I guess we do. I want to talk about other stuff. So General Knowledge gives everybody the opportunity to talk about whatever you want to talk about. But we're going to have to talk about the Phillies. I got an alarming topic about the Eagles because I'm reading that Carson Wentz is struggling in camp. We got to get into that in a second. And because that leads into the bigger question of this, you need to play. What's the struggles? All right. Why is he struggling? What's going on with that?
That happens.
He's a little rust.
I don't want to hear that.
He's struggling
in camp?
Every quarter. He's been struggling for like all 4 days. Every quarterback has struggles in camp.
I can't, I can't just slough that off. Anyway, it's the Mike Missinelli Show, and we're broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. We're on 97.5 The Fanatic, we're on NBC Sports Philly. So this is one of the last chances. I don't know if we're going to have another Take a Raid. Do we have another Take a Raid scheduled?
No.
We don't?
No.
So this and next Wednesday would be the last chance that you would get to score FanFest tickets. And all you have to do is get a correct answer on General Knowledge Wednesday. And it should. I've got a layup question, and two layup categories, and two rather challenging today. All right, so let's talk about the Phillies and what happened yesterday. And Charlie Manuel wants to be taken. What is he taking? Horse and buggy to get to Philly? Is he here yet? He hadn't arrived for the longest time. Is he here? Is he finally here?
He's going to be here tonight.
Oh, he's going to be here for the game.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. I just took him a long time to pack. Charlie will be here. And what does that mean for the Phillies? So many people asked me today. Wherever I went in many stores today. And I was asked the question about, wow, Charlie's going to really do well for the Phillies, and then they're going to hire him as manager. And I go, but if Charlie does well, Gabe gets rehired. That's the thing that we miss. Is that like an obvious conclusion, or am I wrong? If Charlie gets the hitting back together, and I don't think he will, but let's just say he does, and the Phillies make a run because of good hitting, good offense, and they make the playoffs, how do you justify firing the manager? You can't fire him at that point, right?
Absolutely not.
I mean, that was the logical point. Everybody's thinking, all right, Charlie Manuel's going to fix his team, and he's going to be the manager. But if he fixes it, he won't be the manager. All right, let's look at this thing here in order of how it happened. I read a story today, I guess it was Matt Gelb's story in The Athletic, where during the 15-inning game against the Chicago White Sox, Middleton was huddled with Charlie Manuel. To the point where I think he brought Rich Doobie and his wife as guests to the game. And they wanted to leave early, and he didn't leave until the 15th inning because he was engrossed in a conversation with Charlie Manuel. That planted a seed, which then was watered by the fact that the Phillies sucked on the road in their last road trip. And that culminated in what I believe was anger from Middleton, who's a very competitive guy. Finally, when that road trip was done with the Sunday loss on national TV to the San Francisco Giants. And I believe Middleton made the call. Now, here's how I'll substantiate it. A couple weeks back, if you remember the last time Andy McPhail talked to the press, and he was asked a question about whether his team is being coached the right way, and his answer was, I won't even dignify that question with an answer. So he threw it back and said, of course they are. Well, what changed in a couple of weeks? John Middleton changed in a couple of weeks. So when the manager, Gabe Kapler, I find this hard to believe. Gabe Kapler had not even talked to Charlie Manuel as they made the move and still hasn't talked to him. Now, you would think that if a manager was on board with something, he would be conferring. In fact, maybe it would be the genesis of his idea to say, yeah, let's bring Charlie in. I've run out of patience with males. I mean, he didn't even talk to it. What kind of an organization is this? What the hell is going on? You've got such a disconnect now. You've got Kapler, who's the front office's boy. Now you got Charlie coming in, who's the owner's boy, to spy on the team and to try to have a different approach to make these guys hit. This is a mess. And yet, they're only a couple of games out of the wild card because they win last night. I don't even know how they pulled that off last night. But they did win last night. And so they're still hanging in there. So Charlie will get in there tonight. He won't have an immediate effect. In fact, it's going to be a longer process. But you saw the game last night. Tyrone, what stuck out?
What stuck out about the individual game?
Mm-hmm.
Other than my guy Roman's big triple? Big play by my guy, Club Tyrone member,
yeah,
Roman.
He picked up the third baseman.
Yeah, that's what stuck mm-hmm. out to me. Now, all year you've talked about it, and at first it evolved for you because you weren't one of these Gabe haters.
Mm-hmm.
You started to notice a bit of a disconnect, lapses in concentration.
Yes.
People, the guy's not being really engaged with mm-hmm. the game.
They don't think the game.
Right. Now, the one guy who always plays, they got to make sure they move this guy around. He's mm-hmm. a gamer. He's got to play every single day. He never gets sat down. It's Jetpack Scott Kingery.
Mm-hmm.
That Rodriguez, who you know I can't stand, lays down a bunt. And he doesn't run. He's not thinking the game. He gets caught. When you're only up by one, luckily, Roman hits mm-hmm. the triple and you end up getting insurance running. You win the game. But that stuck out to me. And now mm-hmm. I need to see how this manager is going to respond, because the only person that's been punished all year long for anything is Franco. Anybody else kind of seems like they can do whatever they want. The only guy all year that's been punished is Franco. Segura cannot run. This guy cannot do this, that.
What are you going to do, bench Kingery because he made a base running mistake?
Yes.
It wasn't a lack of hustle. And not only that, he was half right. He was half right on the play. If you're the runner on second base, you see the bunt. The bunt was right in front of the plate.
It was.
All right, so the catcher's going to get that in a split second. So Kingery's thinking, if I go, he's got me in third. But where he made a mistake was, the catcher didn't even look at him. The catcher assumed he was running, and when the catcher didn't look at him, that's when he should have gone. But the initial stoppage wasn't a bad play. The bunt was a bad bunt.
I get it was a bad bunt, but once the play plays out, you have to be thinking the game. I have to sit him tonight if I'm the manager.
He was thinking the game. He was saying, if I go here, the catcher throws me out.
I can't. I think he was wrong. I do. I really do think it was a base running mistake.
It turned out to be a base running mistake, but it was half a base running mistake. His initial instincts were good.
He even admitted after the game it was
a
mistake.
Yeah, but his initial instincts were good because the bunt was right there in front of the plate for the catcher to see the play. But the catcher didn't even look at him. That's where he was wrong. As soon as the catcher doesn't look at him, he's got to go.
Because
they're not going to throw him out first base to third.
In the moment, I'm furious at him.
In the moment, you're furious because your guy's Franco and Kingery can do no wrong. And that's why you're going to rip Kingery.
No, I don't want to rip them. I think that was rip worthy. I don't want to rip any Philly. I want them to win every game the rest of the season.
It didn't hurt them.
Because of quick.
It doesn't matter.
Club Tyrone.
If something doesn't hurt the team from winning, it's not a big deal.
You still have to, because some of those games when Segura didn't run, the Philly still won. You still have to punish them.
Segura didn't run. It's a different mistake. One is a judgment. The other is a laziness. Kingery wasn't being lazy.
Got to have better judgment. He won't play for me every day. I can't have it. I'd have to do it. Now I have to sit him. I'm not going to suspend him.
Right,
I'm going to fine him. He's got to sit one night. Unfortunately, I have to play Bamboo Brad.
You don't sit a guy for a misjudgment. You sit a guy for not hustling.
You really don't think he should sit tonight?
No. There's no reason to punish Kingery. Guys make mental errors all the time. But errors of omission, errors of not hustle should be punished.
You really don't think?
No, it's like ridiculous to think that he should be benched for that. He made a misjudgment. But half of it was actually he was on top of the play because he saw where the butt was. You got to look at the whole picture, man. You got to look at it through a baseball lens, right?
Yeah.
You don't punish a guy for a misjudgment. Like, you're going to punish a guy, like, he goes down the line, he misses a foul pop, he doesn't catch it. You're going to punish him for that?
No, that's just different.
It's a misjudgment. He misjudged the ball.
That's a little different.
It's not. It's the same thing. A misjudgment is different than being lazy.
And the other thing that jumped out was Real Muto's really rolling right now. He's having his best stretch so far as a Philly. I like his last 100 and some at bats. He's above 300.
Yes.
He won. He finally, he's turned. Now, what can you do with that stinking first baseman right now with all the Ks and the pop-ups?
I got to be honest. I watched the game last night. I can't watch Jason Vargas. I just can't do it. I'm sorry. I know, like, he's an innings eater, and he gave him six innings last night. I can't do it. I can't do it for the same reason I couldn't watch Jamie Moyer. I can't watch that kind of slop. I'm sorry. I can't do it. I'm not a fan of the slop.
I don't hate him.
It's not pitching.
I don't hate him.
All right.
The boss has just said they're adding, because there's been so much demand, there will be one more ticket raid during your program.
Oh, there will.
Next week.
Okay. Oh, fun. Right.
Well, then, you know, that kind of dilutes today's General Knowledge Wednesday. But
no. Sorry,
could have made that announcement tomorrow, you know. Didn't have to do it at the beginning.
That's all me.
But the bosses didn't have to do it at the beginning of General Knowledge Wednesday.
That's all me. I could have held it. I didn't.
All right. 610-632-0975. That's how you can get into the Mike Masinelli Show. Carson Wentz's recent camp struggles enforced the need to play in Eagles preseason games is the headline. Where is this coming from? The struggles. We're back after this. We'll talk about
the Mike Masinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
We got our producer Booney all fired up now, Kingery. I'll explain in a bit. The 2 o'clock hour of the Mike Masinelli Show is brought to us by HVAC, Ferguson HVAC Lyon Conklin. Yeah. Attention HVAC contractors. Visit Ferguson's County location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. And now it is time to start the Twitter poll. Natalie, you did come up today. I was on the Fox Morning Show with Mike Jerick and Alex Holly.
Rhonda just told me.
Yes. And for some reason, we were talking about the Phillies. All of a sudden, Jerick called for an ad that you did. Is this an online ad?
Yeah, it was just, I was just for Burger Brawl yesterday. Yes. I just made a silly video.
Burger Brawl.
Yeah.
You made a silly video. Mm-hmm. You're eating a burger.
Yeah.
And Jerick kind of enjoyed the way you were eating the burger. It's like you had some kind of like, you had like a vampish look on your face.
That's just how I look.
Yeah, but he thought, you know, he was trying to make it sound like, oh, look at Natalie.
Oh, jeez.
One of those, like what he always does.
Oh, Mike.
Yes. So, in any event, the Twitter poll is brought to us by, and he played it twice, too.
He did?
Yes. He was just enamored with it. You can see it online, I guess, if people want to see Natalie eating a hamburger.
I don't even know if it's up anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
I could repost it.
Paul B. Moyer and Sons, Tensional Landscapers, looking to repower a zero turn or a walk behind mower. Moyer has the best deals around for an engine replacement in stock. Visit PaulBMoyer.com for details.
Over 300 votes on this one early, Mike. Are you concerned about Carson struggling in camp? 17% say yes, 83% say no.
Really?
Yeah, I'm very surprised by that.
I think it's because they read the story and he's not struggling in camp. Like, the headline was to get clicks, but it was he's had good and bad days since Saturday, and it's Wednesday. I don't think that's quite struggling.
I don't want to hear any struggling. I don't have any room for that. That the quarterback's not going to play in the preseason. Hey, he struggles in practice. I don't want to hear that. I don't need to hear that. Buck up. Buck up, son. You can't afford to struggle in practice now. You're not going to play any games. Extra emphasis on the practice part of it.
That's how you get it. How do you get better if you don't practice?
Well, he's practicing well the first couple weeks, and now he's not? I don't like that.
You're not going to be perfect every single day in practice.
Why not?
Because Tom Brady has struggled in camp.
He's not going to get hit. They don't have pads on anymore. What is it, the need for him to struggle now?
The defense also knows the plays.
You're hard on... It's me. You're hard on Kingery. You're easy on Wentz struggling.
No, I'm not. I'm hard on a game, and I'm easy on practice. I wouldn't be hard on Kingery if he struggled in batting practice.
Here's the deal. How many outs were there last night when he did that? Because I can't, my ESPN box.
I thought it was one
my
out.
My box score's not coming up.
I thought it was one out.
All right. If there's one out, and he gets thrown out, you've blown the inning. You're already in scoring position at second base. All right, I'm just giving you the baseball interpretation here. Because here's what Booney, Dan Roche, our producer at NBC Sports Philly, he emails me this.
There was no outs.
No outs.
No outs.
Okay.
That's what it was. No outs.
Here's the old adage. You never make the first out at third base or the third out.
Yeah.
At third base.
Yeah.
That is the baseball adage. Okay?
Yeah.
Because you are in scoring position.
Okay.
All right. So, Booney goes, you couldn't be more wrong. Scott Kingery is the second fastest player on the team. He knew the bunt was on. He got a good secondary lead. He needs to be off as soon as he realizes the bunt is on the ground. He gets thrown out. No, you're wrong. Because getting thrown out is a cardinal sin. You're already in scoring position. You have blown the inning if you get thrown out. You have to see where the bunt is. If the bunt is right in front of the plate, the catcher, you're meat for that catcher. That's not an easy play for him to throw you out. So he sees that the bunt is only a couple feet from the plate, and he froze. It's not a bad play. The bad play is, when you're looking at the catcher, Luke Croy picks it up, doesn't even look at second base. He was giving him the base. At that point, he doesn't look, and he's in a motion to throw to the first base. Then you go. That's where his mistake was. Not immediately going, because you can't make the third. You can't make the first out of third base. You have blown the inning. You take yourself out of scoring position. I'm just giving you the baseball way here.
Right, but Booney's thing is also a baseball. If he's taking a secondary lead, you're off as soon as the bunt is down.
It doesn't matter. He's out. He is dead out if he goes to third base. Where that bunt was and the catcher picks it up and sees the play, he's out. He's not going to beat that play. The catcher's going to throw him out.
Didn't he end up out?
Yeah, because he got caught in a rundown. That's where his misjudgment was.
So it's the same thing. If he does it Booney's way,
he got caught in between. But you're saying his error was not going right away. I'm saying his error was not going once he saw the catcher not paying attention to him. And then he froze. So there, the misjudgment made him freeze. But it's not a benchable offense. It's like if a guy doesn't tag at third base when he should tag, do you bench him? It's just an error in judgment. It's not hustling.
Certain times I would bench him. Depends on the situation.
Yeah, you don't get benched for that. You get benched. You should get benched for non-hustle. All right, let's go to Ron in Allentown. Ron, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ron.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
What's up, Ron?
Yeah, well, you know, it's going to be short and sweet with Charlie.
What do you mean?
He's a secret weapon.
What do you mean short and sweet?
Well, he has a secret weapon. It's called oatmeal. He eats that every day.
Yeah?
So he's going to get these guys eating oatmeal, get all that red meat out of their bellies, and they're going to start swinging like crazy.
All right.
All right? And then he's going to the They're going to get the Mets.
You're a worse leadoff hitter than Harper. What's your other point, Ron?
They're going to get straightened out. Get all that dead meat out of their bellies. And
oh, my God. How's that? How's that the first call?
What are you supposed to talk about? Oatmeal?
Charlie's going to get him to eat oatmeal so they get the red meat out of their belly. That's the first call of the day today. We're off to a rollicking start. Let's go to Walt in Philly. Walt, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Walt. All right, Walt is not there. He got a little frightened.
Scared him off.
Third time's a charm. Third caller's a charm.
Ryan in Medford. Ryan, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ryan.
Oh, boy, I can't wait to follow those two guys. That'll be real fun.
Well, you guess what? The field is, the fairway is wide open for you, bro.
All right, so I just want to really just make 2 points here. The first is about this Scott Kingery thing.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you, Mike. I don't think you should bench Kingery for that. But simultaneously, I can understand where Tyrone's coming from in the sense that I'm mad at Kapler this year for not holding anybody accountable for any mistakes. Now, I do agree with you that you shouldn't bench him for that error. But all the guys who haven't hustled this year haven't been reprimanded in any way that I could tell, and that is a problem.
I totally agree with you. I ripped into him for not benching Segura when he didn't hustle a couple times. If you don't hustle, I'd pull him out of the game during the game. I don't even wait. But here's the thing now with this Kingery. Yeah, it's all well and good, but bench Kingery. You're going to start Sean Rodriguez at third base? You're going to start Brad Miller at third base? That's your solution?
Oh, no, no, like I said, I agree with you, but I can at least maybe understand the rationale that maybe now it's time to finally start sending the message to these players.
Yeah,
but
it's not time now. Guess what? You're two games out. It's not time now to send messages. Earlier in the season, you send messages.
Well, that's a fair point. And that actually was what I was going to say also about Charlie Manuel. I like Manuel coming in as the hitting coach. But shouldn't have this been done like a while ago? Like, isn't it too late for that as well?
Yes.
I mean,
yes. It's too late.
This team is so late with everything. And also, I mean, you said yesterday that now you think maybe Kapler does have a chance to lose his job.
No, I think, if Charlie Manuel doesn't have any effect on their offense, then I think that the owner has shown now he's going to get involved in things. And he's the guy who's responsible for this Charlie Manuel hiring. So at the end of the year, if they end on a down note and finish fourth, what do you think he's going to do? Be quiet, the owner?
I agree. But then it also comes back to, I think Tyrone said this on Monday, you would still have the same two people who picked Kapler are now going to pick the replacement.
Well, you can't change that. Because Middleton was stupid enough to give them an extension. So that's not going to change. But he can change the manager. There's only 1 year left that he has to pay the manager.
Well, I get that point. But my point still is that it doesn't really solve anything in the long term if you're going to just pick another guy that's not very good because you've got the same two morons who are going to pick the replacement.
Well, I mean, there's always another guy. There's always another guy. There's always another guy that could be good. So
I guess you're right.
You want a general knowledge question?
Yeah, sure.
You want to get FanFest tickets?
Yeah, sure.
All right, general knowledge question category. What is the Spanish word for friend?
Amigo?
Correct. See, a layup right out of the chute. I just handed it to him. Handed him tickets.
So generous.
Thank you.
He also qualifies for Burger Brawl tickets.
Oh, that's right.
One per hour.
We'll give one per hour?
One per hour.
Okay, Burger Brawl tickets, that's correct. We talked about that yesterday. We have four pair to give away today. All right, so Tyrone, you want to bench Kingery?
Yeah.
All right, so Sean Rodriguez starts.
No, Bamboo Brad.
Oh, Brad Miller starts tonight.
Who's also terrible. I'm recognizing that. Like, I'm recognizing
that. You got 43 games left. You don't have time now to fool around.
But that's also why I wouldn't have sent down Franco, because I would have started, and in that situation, I played Franco a day.
See, again, you're bringing up impossibilities.
Right, but that's Franco, a message.
Franco's gone, all right? So you got a deal now with 43 games left. You're two out. You want to take the chance of benching Kingery for Brad Miller? Hey. Or Sean Rodriguez?
Yeah, hey, Brad, you're playing. What I need you, Scott, to do, jetpacks, You sit right next to Charlie and talk baseball this whole game, and we'll get you back in the next day. You're just getting a blow.
All right. So you run the risk of making your team weaker and losing more ground. Because you want to put some kind of message to Scott Kingery, who really wasn't that wrong.
That's where we disagree.
Okay.
Me and Booney.
Well, apparently you're not hearing a word I'm saying here.
I do hear everything you're saying.
On the reason why he did that. Yeah, he froze, all right? He panicked. He froze. But his initial read of the play was not wrong.
I hear you.
All right. I don't think you do. Chris in South Philly. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chris.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How are you, buddy? We got a little reverb for some reason, so we'll try to fix that up. Teach in City Avenue. What's up, Teach? Teach, what's going on today? It's 2 o'clock hour. Is line six okay? That's the second time line six was out. I think it's okay. All right, Teach, you're going to have to call back. Thomas and Broomall checking in. What's up, Thomas?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
How you doing?
Good. I'm just glad that the Phillies won last night. I mean, I'm like you. I'm not really worried about what Kingery did.
Mm-hmm.
The outcome of it was we won the game. We got that insurance run. Quinn hit that triple. I'm just glad the Charlie Manuel idea of bringing him back down here. I think that was a good move. Just waiting for Larry Bell, and maybe he can come into the dugout too.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. Kapler would, listen, I can't discount anything at this point, but Kapler's already got one guy looking over his shoulder. To have two guys who are both cut from the same cloth, they might, both of those guys in the dugout might outwardly laugh at him.
You can't have that. One thing I wanted to talk about, the Carson Wentz. I mean, I know that you have to be cautious and, not play him in the preseason. I heard Bear Brooks saying that, they should just, put bubble wrap around him and wait till the first game of the season.
Mm-hmm.
But with, Sudfeld out and you got Thorson and, I don't know, the other backup they have. But, I mean, just throw him out there for a series.
That's all they have. They have Kessler and Thorson.
Yeah. I just want to see what he has. Game level. I know it's still the preseason, but I mean, your thoughts, you think we should just wait till...
No, I wouldn't play him at all, but I am worried about a report that he's struggling in practice. That's not enough to make me want to have him play in a game, because he wouldn't play long anyway, so what's the point?
That's true. Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah, he's not going to iron out his kinks in a preseason game when they're only playing him a series or two.
Yeah. You got a general knowledge?
Yes, I do have a general knowledge. Famous movie scenes is the category. All right? I give you a scene. You tell me what the movie is.
All right.
An upside-down man and a redheaded woman kiss in the heavy rain.
Spider-Man.
That is correct. All right, Thomas. I think he's very common, but he qualifies for the Burger Brawl. Spidey.
I like that one, that Spider-Man. Did you like that one?
Yeah, that was the only
good one, I think.
No, two was also good. It was three that was terrible.
Okay.
I didn't really pay that much attention to Spider-Man. I watched it, but I was doing stuff around the house.
It was like background noise?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you like Kirsten Dunst?
I used to.
You're like, no, I'm over.
I liked her in Bring It On. See, I like her. Most people like Alicia Dushku more than Eliza Dushku.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Right.
She's...
Well...
Kirsten Dunst is more my look than Alicia Dushku.
Eliza Dushku.
Whatever happened to her? She
did a documentary about Albania,
mm-hmm.
and now she's working on the sequel. She decided to be like a documentary filmmaker.
I noticed that you were tweeting about the Eagles male cheerleader.
Yeah.
And I was in the total agreement with you. Why were people ripping the male cheerleader for the Eagles?
I don't know.
Male cheerleaders and bring it on.
about. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so over the weekend, people were put
spirit fingers.
Yeah. And all that stuff, right.
Jazz hands.
Yeah. Did the jazz hands and the spirit fingers. Mm. Over the weekend, somebody tweeted out the video, and I noticed somebody I follow, and I noticed underneath was a lot of criticism towards the guy. So I just felt the need to say, like, what is that about? Because I saw what the guy was doing. The guy was doing what you would ask a cheerleader to do. I just don't understand. It just didn't connect with me.
I think the perception is that a pro team should have these scantily clad cheerleaders because it's professional ball. So it throws people. But in reality, this is an open world. A guy wants to be a cheerleader, why not?
He competed. He had to try out like these other people. There were other males that were cut. He made the cut.
It's commonplace in college.
That's what I mean. And then I had to deal with Broad Street Bullies, cheesesteaks. It doesn't fit. And I'm going, no, you don't fit. Also, all that crap didn't win.
Kind of a closed-minded view of it. If you're not accepting of the Eagles male cheerleader, who cares?
Philadelphia.
And the other part,
I'll say, good for him.
I'm not saying don't watch the cheerleaders, but I'm saying you guys that go to the game and get the binoculars out and stare at the cheerleaders, I think you're a weirdo, too. Like, they're there to do a job. You shouldn't be, like, they're not just there to be objectified. They're there to cheer. So right. I hate when the guys aren't watching the game. Oh, look at her. I think that's creepy, too. Like, just let them
do
their job.
You actually think they're there to cheer? Wait, pro football cheerleaders are there to cheer?
No, they're eye candy, but I'm saying they're also there in the winter. They're doing a routine. Uh-huh. You yelling at them and stuff like that, to me, is also over the line.
Most of them have studied dance and...
Yeah, that kind of
they're
thing.
Like professional
and
dancers.
And they want to use that as a...
They're not really there to cheer. I mean, we're not like... In college, they're there to cheer. In pro sports, they're just kind of part of the pageantry of it.
Well, yeah, they're ambassadors.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's
fine. Going 2 bits to 4 bits, 6 bits, a dollar.
I agree.
For the Eagles, stand up and holler.
But I've seen guys with the binoculars going, look at her third from the right, shaking, honey. Like, that's weird to me.
Well,
you're at a football game. What are you yelling about shaking, honey?
Well, who's in a football game? Like Harvard professors?
There's something...
Is there 60,000 Harvard professors there? They're not going to do something like that?
I'm not. Maybe because I don't act like that.
Well, good for you.
It's inappropriate to me.
But you do know a lot of people who would do that kind of thing.
Not many friends of mine. I know them, but I don't like them.
A lot of members of this listening audience would do something like that.
You know, I wouldn't hang with a lot of members of this listening audience necessarily.
When things that we're used to change, it comes with, you know, people being uncomfortable with something being different. So the male cheerleader, it's different. We're not used to that here. It's stereotypically always been female. So it's a different time period. It's a different generation. I saw him live last Thursday. He was fantastic. Didn't miss a beat.
he was right on beat.
Hold on, let me.
Tyrone had big compliments, Twitter compliments.
He was really great.
I didn't see the guy, to be honest with you. I just saw Tyrone's tweet.
I hadn't seen it until
he posted a little vid.
I was sitting in one of the decks, and he was right there in front, and I was happy to see him, and I was, you know, it was...
What's his name?
Let me look it up. I forget.
Okay. All right, so the Phillies made a roster move today, and they brought in another left-handed hitter. Not another.
Well, you know why.
When Logan Morrison came up, of course, he had some years with the Marlins, and has since fallen on hard times, but he was in AAA. So what's the roster move they made?
Well, I guess they're waiting. It's probably Dickerson after getting hit in the hand yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
So they're trading.
I said the x-rays were negative on Dickerson.
But I guess they're swelling or something. That's what everybody's tweeting. They haven't made the second move, but people are guessing that it's for Dickerson. But there's nothing confirmed yet about what the other move is.
Okay.
Oh, his name is Kyle Tangway. He's a 21-year-old dance major at the University of Arts in Philadelphia.
There it is.
And he made the squad in April.
He'll use that on his resume when he goes on with his dance
They
career.
Do so much charity work, and you know, all of the cheerleaders are educated and have full-time jobs. I mean, it's really like an extracurricular activity.
Right, because they make very, very little. So
yeah, they make
nothing. This is a side thing to do. Yeah.
Good for Kyle. 610-632-0975, a little later in the show. There's a Little League scandal going on. Did you see that? I can't believe this, because I was actually watching that game. I'll tell you what happened in the game, and there's it's a New England scandal. it's small scale, so don't get you know, but it's still a scandal. Mike Mussinelli Show right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, 247, Mike Missinelli Show. Let's get right back to the phone calls with Chris in South Philly. General Knowledge Wednesday, and here's Chris. What's up, Chris?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Can you hear me now?
Yes, we got you, buddy.
Okay, great, man. So I wanted to bring up, did you hear about the new Eagles cheerleader?
Yeah, we just talked about it.
No, Eliza Dushku.
Oh.
You hear about her?
No.
Oh, she's joined the team for you, Mike.
What are you joshing me here?
No, I'm kidding, man. Anyway, what I wanted to bring up was our buddy, I'll just call him Howie. I've never thought I would ever feel bad for Gabe Kapler until yesterday. And I just wanted to hear your thoughts on that.
You feel sorry for him?
Just because of Howard. Just because of Howard's really...
Who cares about that guy? He doesn't even have a job. I only talk about people with jobs. Mac and Drexel. Mac, you're a 97.5 Fanatic. Mac.
Mr. Missinelli, big fan of yours.
Thanks, you buddy.
Absolutely. I want to talk about... I mean, my thing with Charlie Manuel coming in, I don't think it'll really do much for the short term. But I think it just shows this guy, Klintak. I mean, I don't think he has a big idea of what he's doing. Either that or no control. I mean, he could have done this, you know, July 31st, the All-Star break. He could have done it Memorial Day. All of a sudden now, he does it out of nowhere. I mean, I don't think
he did it only because the owner told him to do it. This is like a classic Ed Snyder, get a goalie type of situation. That's what that is. I'm guaranteeing you that Sunday night the call came down to both those guys, Klintak and McPhail, you need to do something. And he suggested bringing Charlie in.
I mean, and for me too, I don't think this guy has an idea how to build a roster, A, and develop talent, B. I mean, you know, you send Franco down, you don't have anybody really that can replace him. They send Hazley down, not that he's a world beater.
He's back on the team.
Oh, he is back? Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. It's hard to watch him, really. So it's hard to even, you know, to sit there.
Yeah, because Jay Bruce went back on the DL, so Hazley stayed.
Oh, what else is new? But I also had a question for you, too, if you wouldn't mind. Yes. I was curious, you know, your take on kind of where we are in the sports here. You kind of know what the Phillies are, the Eagles, the Sixers. I was curious what your take on the ceiling for the four teams.
Two championships next year is the potential. I fully expect two teams to compete for a title next year, or this year with the Eagles. This coming year, Sixers and Eagles.
If you had to pick one or the other, though, which one would you think would be more likely? Though, I'm just curious.
Sixers.
Sixers, you think?
Yes. I don't know. Now they're about even to me. I don't know. I can't take one or the other. I think they both have even chances to win a championship.
Okay, awesome. Can I get a question from you, Mike?
Yeah, certainly. All right, let's go with baseball teams by clue. I'm going to give you an obscure clue, and you give me the team I'm looking for.
Oh, great.
The Jolly Rogers.
The Pirates.
Yeah, there you go. See? I told you. This was a layup category. A couple layup categories.
Well, the last couple weeks of general knowledge have been tough.
Yeah, I looked at the spreadsheet. This show has given away less total tickets by far than the other shows. Now, by far. Now, I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. I think it's a good thing because people earn the tickets. But even when you've been trying to make it easy, people have struggled. So having three in an hour is actually since we started giving out FanFest tickets, this is the most we've given away in a single hour.
Wow.
having three correct in 1 hour.
That's terrible.
We're on pace to give away 12. We haven't given away more than like six in any show.
Wow.
So we're already getting, so this is a great day so far.
Cool. Who's pitching tonight for the Cubs?
Cole.
Well, and Brad Miller's not playing. Rodriguez is playing. If you're benching Kingery, Rodriguez has to play.
Yeah,
see my point?
Yeah, I just got to do it.
All right, so
I got to hold my nose and do it.
Booney's more stubborn than you. He keeps haranguing me over this situation. What? He says it's a benchable offense considering the situation.
Yeah, we're on the same page.
You want to cut off your nose and spite your face tonight? You want to bench Kingery? Enjoy four at-bats from Sean Rodriguez. How's that? You're nestling with a big bag of popcorn, Tyrone.
I don't know. Everybody
throwing out their pectorals here with this Kingery situation. And you got Sean Rodriguez who has to play tonight if you bench him. Let's go to Ben in Nazareth. Ben, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ben.
Hey, Mike. How's it going,
What's
man?
Up, Ben?
I haven't talked with you guys in a while. So I want to touch on something you guys brought up, topic a long time ago at the end of the call. It's about reheating a steak. First of all, the Eagles. I wanted to talk some Eagles, and we have an embarrassment of riches on offense. My only concern, honestly, is defensive backs and, of course, the safety position, mainly. You know, we have Malcolm Jenkins, Andrew Sandeo, but then it's pretty much a big fall off.
You got Rodney McLeod.
Rodney McLeod, true. Okay.
Yeah, you got your starters back.
Yeah.
But safety.
One thing about, I was just wondering about Sidney Jones, too. Kind of.
Oh, my God. You know, everybody's raving about Sidney Jones. A big story today on how he's changed his whole existence. He has his health and swagger back entering year three. He will be the starter week one.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He'll be the starter along with Ronald Darby. They'll be the starting cornerbacks.
All right. That eases my attentions a little bit then.
He's got to do it in a game. I mean, we're getting these reports in practice that he's got his swagger back and all this, but we'll see.
Yeah, I hear
this
you.
This was a Tim McManus story too. So Timmy's invested.
Oh man, I gotta hear this.
Yeah, you got to look at it on ESPN.com. Tim McManus' story today.
Sounds good.
All right, you want a general knowledge question?
Yeah, if you want mine.
All right, this is U.S. general knowledge. So two general knowledge categories today. U.S.
Alrighty.
What two major airports are located in New York City?
Ooh. I know LaGuardia. Oh. I'm trying to think. I don't have it. Like,
oh, man. You got LaGuardia, but you didn't get JFK?
You watch one Seinfeld episode to get both answers. Because they had to keep going back and forth from one to the other.
Exactly. 610-620-975. 3 o'clock hour. Hey, I bring up this big Little League scandal, man. It's actually a topic that we can discuss.
Really?
It's a baseball situation topic.
Oh, wow.
All right, it's Mike Messinelli Show. Back after this, 975 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.